become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets and the fact that the bad guys most always go free. That is wrong. We need leaders who lead us.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report on this 29th day of September 2005. We're from the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network down here in Central Texas. And Thursdays, we generally have either Ed or John on separately, but today we got them both, and I'm glad that we have. And talking with Clay here, which is an attorney, has been for 29 years in New Mexico, you know, I am watching what's going on here, and we are a nation, any society, any culture has to have law, and we had law, but it's gotten quite complicated. We have people practicing different kinds of law and doing different things. I mean, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Well, do you know how many laws are actually on the books and how many of these laws really are constitutional? I'll tell you one that the Supreme Court back in 1919, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because of these hate crime laws that are getting ready to be passed by our venerable Congress, our District of Criminals in Washington, D.C., about hate speech, which is you might as well just take your Constitution and tear out the First Amendment to the Constitution. Might as well get rid of it. But the Supreme Court back in 1919, in Sheck versus the United States, the court ruled that anti-government speech must be allowed unless it creates a clear and present danger to the nation. Well, the talk that I talk on the air every day might be construed as the de facto government as being a threat to it and a clear and present danger. They already have a precedent already set. It wouldn't look too good. You run around and start eliminating talk show hosts or free speech. Doesn't look good. But little by little, they're boxing people in. Now, Clay, I need to ask you, after listening to this, I mean, are we after lawful and provable government or just what works for the day? Let's pass a law, see how many people complain about it, and let's see what we can do to keep it on the books. What's your thought about law in this country right now?
I would think it's a combination of both, and I'm guessing that you're talking about the federal government.
Yes.
The federal legislature. I got so frustrated with the federal system probably 15 years ago that I quit doing federal work. I quit doing federal law. I quit practicing in federal court. I do strictly state stuff. I do not understand what the people in Washington do. It's just a giant mill of lobbying, huge amounts of money.
Special interest, yeah.
And deception. There are many legislators, I think, whose hearts are in the right place, and I don't think they're all on the take.
But their butts are in the wrong seats, because as we've demonstrated, but you talk about the FedGov, but if you take a look at it, the state governments, municipalities, cities, they've all incorporated. They've all become their own little corporations. And as I said at the outset of this program, the assumption is that you're one of the corporate members and that when you walk into a court to stand on your constitutional rights.
But that's all that gets elected anymore, John, because only U.S. citizens can vote. So it isn't the assumption. The facts are that what you're going into is a facility of the federal government.
Yes, but the people walking into that venue, do they know it? Do they have a clear understanding of what they're up against? Because, as I said before, a courtroom is just the prayer for justice, not a guarantee. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Gano Cafe? Oregano Cafe, a healthy coffee gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Oregano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Everybody shout out there. We got a good day today. Apparently, we have a new Supreme Court justice. Well,
I don't.
Yeah, I don't either. He has demonstrated strong backing for the Bush administration's policies. Ruling against the Geneva Convention's protections for detainees at Guantanamo Bay, that's because they're not prisoners of war, they're enemy combatants. And he's also in favor of keeping the Vice President Dick Cheney's Energy Task Force record secret. Of course, we have Mr. Vice President with ties to Halliburton, no bid contracts, that includes Katrina, Middle East, you name it. We have corporate government. We have fascism going on in this country, ladies and gentlemen, as was expressed before about the special interest. Who do you think these people are with their $2,000 suits and their $500 or $1,000 Gucci shoes prowling the halls of Congress? You know, I mean, we've got a serious problem here. I mean, we've got justices on the bench right now. I got to tell you something, they're scary. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, for instance, her husband, Martin D. Ginsburg. Okay, this is the guy that basically was the nexus or the foundation of the NAMBLA organization, the Man and Boy Love organization. Okay, how does she vote? Well, she votes liberal. Now, I have a problem with conservative versus liberal versus Constitution. We have the United States Supreme Court that has decided not to hear any cases on Homeland Security, Patriot Act, anything of that. They've already come out and said we're going to hear no cases. Now, I have a problem with that. Because what we have is an ascended king in Washington, D.C., a man that is assuming powers that are not his to assume, and everybody's playing ball with this guy. Everybody's playing patty cake. I mean, even Phil Donahue on Bill O'Reilly's show had the gumption and the wherewithal to even say that, look, this was an illegal and unconstitutional war. Basically, Congress said, yeah, we'll vote for appropriations, but we're not going to vote because it is their constitutional duty to declare war on a sovereign nation. They threw that to the king. We've got some serious problems here. And what we have is a federalization of everything in this country, which is a severe problem. And we can hearken back, gentlemen, to the Reconstruction and how the government centralized and gave itself all the authority and power. Well, they can give themselves whatever they want. I'm here in Texas, and I'm telling you, no, you don't have the jurisdiction, and you don't have the power over me. Stay in your 10-square-mile area up there in the District of Criminals and leave me the heck alone.
Now, that's why we're trying to explain how they got to this.
Clay,
they did it by deception, by usurpations, by sleight of hand. And if you know how they did it and the outs they left, whether they liked them or not, people can exercise lawful government because we are the progenitor of all government.
I'd agree with that. I think that we are the progenitor. I think part of the problem, a good part of the problem, is that many, many people don't have time to get involved in any of these things. Many people don't have the level of knowledge that it takes to even talk about these things. And it's not to minimize who they are or what they think. It's just that they don't have time to do it. The things that you fellows do and that you men do, I'm extremely grateful for because it puts a great deal of things in perspective for me. So, Mr. Stattmiller, it's not hard to tell when you're upset and when you are angry with the way that things are. And I can see that today. I don't blame you for that. I get that way myself. I get depressed sometimes. So there's very few people that I can talk to who even understand any of this, and most of them don't even care. They don't see the federalization that you're talking about coming down the road, and then they just think, if they see it, they think, well, everything's okay. The government wouldn't do anything to really hurt us anyway.
Of course they wouldn't, and that's how every...
They don't understand that.
And that's how every tyrant and every... tyrannical, I don't know why that squealed in my ears, but that's how every tyrannical government has come about, because the people make the assumption that the elected ones, the appointed ones, are not going to do them any harm. And basically, when you look throughout history, the only real thing that I have noticed is that they centralize and garner more power. I mean, that's their job, to take more control. So,
well,
you know,
another problem, I think, is that, for the most part, the people who have an interest in these kinds of topics, an interest in wanting to work in campaigns and become politicians and legislators, etc., are people who are interested in the law. And so, consequently, you end up with a lot of lawyers on legislatures.
Yeah, well, we had that 13th Amendment that mysteriously disappeared during the Civil War that prevented people that had titles of nobility, squire, whatever you want to call them, precluded them from being in office, being, you know, elected, so to speak. And that is a real problem, because who do we have making a bunch of these laws right now? That's right, lawyers.
Yeah, and it is a tremendous problem, because you need, I firmly believe it, you need a cross-section from the community, the whole community of the whole country, to get to the point where you're going to have some fair and equal justice.
All right. Well, Clay, I appreciate your call, and I appreciate you listening to the program. And by the way, I'll tell you what works for me. When I get a little depressed, I just get angry. It gets me over that hump.
Well, I know the two go hand in hand. And just one more thing before I go.
Yes, sir.
If there's any way possible that RBN could put together MP3s and I could get a third grader to show me how to work this machine that I got, of Mr. Waller and your other guest, John Ainsworth, I would love to purchase that and listen to those as well, because I have a great interest in it, but, you know, people, I can't even begin to formulate the concepts that these individuals have put together, and I really appreciate what Mr. Ainsworth and what Mr. Waller have done, because it's very complicated. It's very craftily done, as they indicated, and it takes a long time to try to understand these things.
Well, I'll tell you what, Clay, do me a favor. Just hang on the line a second. I'll see if my producer can help you out a little bit. We do have MP3s available, and maybe he can help you with your particular problem. I appreciate you listening and taking the time to call into the program. Thank you.
And, Clay, you can get my email address. This is Ed off of ncrepublic.org. Pop me an email. I'd like to stay in contact with you.
And I was going to say the same thing. This is John. I'd love to talk to you about this stuff.
All right, real good. Yeah, because you know, I'll tell you what needs to be done, guys. I mean, the thought just occurred to me that we've got a lot of good people. As I said earlier, you know, we've had people that have gone into law enforcement that think they're going to help, you know, people get their cat out of their tree, or maybe they can stop a bad guy or stop physical harm against another person. They go into it with the best intentions, but they plug themselves into that matrix. They then lose what it's supposed to be about. And lawyers also, as Clay suggested here, he got frustrated. He you know, dealing with his quagmire, dealing with the Fed, you know, going into the Fed courts and whatever else. I mean, it's maniacal. So I think what we need to do is to bring on more lawyers on board to say, hey, look, fellas, you know, here's the real deal. This is what they didn't teach you in law school, especially, and this is important now, because now in law school, the only thing that they're teaching you is procedure.
Right. John, can I interject here with a little bit of my observations on the court system? I've got a good bit of experience in the court systems here. Is we're dealing with two different law concepts. And one is the courts deal with statutory law, and we all go in there under, I mean, just basic, fundamental constitutional violations. And they want to deal with, we don't look at the Constitution. We're just looking at the statutes, and we're looking at stare decisis, what other courts have ruled on these statutes. And when we try to get them to turn towards the Constitution, they totally ignore it. And they go forward, and you can only bring your constitutional argument up. You cannot bring it up at the very beginning of an issue. You can only take it to a higher level. These people will not rule on constitutional issues. And this is one of the fundamental problems with police officers, like you just said. Police officers who want to come in and do good, well, they can't go in there and enforce the Constitution. They can only go in and enforce statutes. And when we have a Constitution that is the fundamental law, and let me give you a quote from a police officer here in High Point, North Carolina. He said that the statutes override the Constitution.
Whoa.
And so we have
what
this
academy
fundamental,
did he go to?
We have this fundamental problem in understanding that the Constitution is the fundamental law upon which no statute can violate, to where everyone, the courts that we go into, say, well, the statutes are the fundamental law, and if you want to talk the Constitution, that's not talked about here. You've got to go somewhere else. You've got to spend a bunch of bucks. You've got to get your transcripts. You've got to get your procedure right for your appeal. And if you can't, you know, meet all the deadlines, learn your law, then you're sunk. And we need to be able to go into these courts and discuss fundamental constitutional violations at a local first stop level. And what you were talking about with the Supreme Court saying that they're not going to take the topics involving Homeland Security. Well, the fundamental concept is that the courts are always supposed to be open to give relief. And what they're saying is, hey, our courts are going to start closing. There's going to be relief that will not be granted in these issues. And now we have just crossed one of the most dangerous lines that any nation can go or can cross.
Well, back in 1819, McCulloch versus Maryland, the court ruled. Now, you want to talk about states' rights and how it's been chiseled away? They ruled that the actions of the federal government prevail over those of the states. And specifically, the Congress may take appropriate action under the Constitution, such as establishing a national bank, even where such actions are not specifically authorized. What they did was they authorized themselves. I mean, we've had some bad Supreme Court decisions, but the Supreme Court itself, year after year, they'll look at 1,000 cases, only take 100, and only give a written opinion on 80 to 90 of those cases. We'll break. We'll take your calls right after this.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Fight Father Time with Cocoon GH. This advanced growth hormone spray delivers impressive results. Listen to what 51-year-old Gail Contacts experienced while on Cocoon GH.
My eyesight was failing. My skin was sagging. I was losing muscle tone and my bones and joints were aching. I initially got started on a product called Ultimate HGH. I felt a little more energy for the first few weeks, but then I began to feel tired again. Then I heard an ad on Cocoon GH and gave a call. I learned that Ultimate HGH isn't even growth hormone. I started using Cocoon GH and the first thing I noticed was my aches and pains went away. After another few weeks, my energy came up, as did my strength and endurance. I'm getting a better night's sleep and waking up feeling rested. My muscle tone and my eyesight both improved after 1 month. My sex drive got stronger and much to my surprise, my menopausal symptoms went away and my period came back. I'm impressed beyond belief. Thanks, Cocoon Nutrition.
Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour.
$15 for 2 hours.
And $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting. 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Other Supreme Court rulings that I found interesting was how they ruled on abortion, okay? And the Supreme Court, boy, they ducked it on this one. In Griswold versus Connecticut, in a striking down a Connecticut law banning contraceptives, the court established a constitutional right to privacy. See, this didn't have anything to do with abortion or anything else. What they basically did was, okay, well, this is a thing of privacy and people should be able to do this. But by and large, what we saw the federal government do is be an advocate for abortion, Roe v. Wade, okay, at which the new Supreme Court justice here said that he's not going to meddle in. Yeah, and I can believe that he's not going to. You know, I mean, in 1973, Roe v. Wade, the court ruled that the constitutional right to privacy includes a woman's right to have an abortion. Well, you know, if I use the privacy issue, if I find a set of parents out there that have children, can I pay those parents to have sex with their children? Yeah, that might sound odd to you, but think about what I'm saying here. Couldn't that be under the blanket of protection, privacy protection? That might sound outlandish to somebody, but think about what I'm saying. If the Supreme Court wants to duck this thing and say, well, that's an issue of privacy and whatever else. I mean, this is how out of whack that this has become. I mean, even to the point where they're making sure that we have a secular government. And we're all familiar with the First Amendment. It precluded the state from establishing its own religion, what it was supposed to ensure that we have the right to worship and do whatever we need to do. But it prohibited the state from sanctioning a particular religion or demanding or whatever else that people worship in a certain way.
But the ultimate duff, John, was Georgia v. Stanton, when they tried to get the Supreme Court to look at the constitutionality of the Reconstruction Act. The court said, we won't hear it. We're not going to rule on it. How different would our country be if the Supreme Court had just done its job?
Well, and in 92, here's another one, and I'll take your calls. In 1992, Planned Parenthood of Southeastern Pennsylvania versus Casey, while affirming the Roe v. Wade decision of 1973, of course, banning states from outlawing most abortions, the justices said states may raise new hurdles for women seeking to end their pregnancies. The decision did away with Roe's trimester approach in favor of a new test, whether the regulations place an undue burden on women's right to an abortion. You know, the Supreme Court is not supposed to be in the business of interpretation. Okay? Like I said, they got 1,000 cases that hits their court every year. They only rule on 100, and they only give 80 to 90 written. And this is where you get the chief justices. You get them with their remarks on record. So we have a problem here. And the problem, let's go back to Reconstruction, the centralization of the federal power. That's what the war was all about.
If I can interject one thing, you're exactly right. And what we're finding that's happening is we're getting a defining of the rights of a new type of citizen that the world hadn't seen yet. Again, we had the concept of freemen from ancient Rome, from Greece, Rome, the English Empire. And we've got case law after case law on the rights of a freeman. Well, the United States government created a new form of citizenship that had civil rights, government-created rights, that had no case law, that had no definitions, that had no precedent. And so this is what we're seeing with these U.S. citizens. Again, they're not deciding what are the rights of freemen, which are well established and been around for thousands of years. They're trying to establish what are the rights of United States citizens, what are their civil rights, what are their rights that the government's going to grant. And we actually see this process is doing what it's supposed to do. The issue is the federal government has no authority to impose the rights of the civil rights of a U.S. citizen upon a freeman, which is the issues that we have the cognitive disconnect on that. We think that what the Supreme Court is passing on these U.S. citizens should pertain to us, and they don't. And this is why we have to get out from under their umbrella and under proper lawful government that doesn't have that U.S. citizen status.
And do me a favor, Mr. Producer, let's blow the remaining breaks off because we have loaded phones here. To our affiliates down the line, I do that from time to time. Usually I just skip the last break, but we're going to skip the 6 minutes of breaks here. So just hang on, everybody. I made a mistake. I said that the Supreme Court only gets 1,000 petitions every year. Now, I was in error. It gets 7,000 petitions per year, and they only hear oral arguments in about 100 of those cases. But how many of the problems that we see today, how many of the problems we see today that would just melt away, just go bye-byes forever, if the Supreme Court stuck to its Constitution, we had the de jure government that we could argue constitutional rights in a court, and I don't give a hoot and a holler if it's in a municipal court, district court, whatever the case. How many of these problems that we're looking at right now would not be there if these people looked at the Constitution and enforced the Constitution and quit playing patty cake with the legalese to try to skirt it? Because where was the Supreme Court when we turned our banking system over into a private consortium? Where were they when they the Congress violated the Constitution with the income tax law? Where were the Supreme Court justices then? There are many mistakes that the United States Supreme Court has made. And as you rightly pointed out, gentlemen,
the credit of innocence, John, is being overkind, because I don't think they were mistakes. They were complicit in the overthrow of lawful government.
Collusion. Yes.
They were in collusion. There you go.
Well, I
sorry to interrupt you.
No, I was being kind.
You were being kind. Yes, you
know,
were.
And you know, a judge worth his salt will always give a client or a potential customer an even break. But by the way, the justice of the peace, I reminded him when I was in court the other day and I had my tickets thrown out.
Yeah.
I reminded him that his address said Commerce Boulevard. Let's get back to the phones. Roger in Pennsylvania. Hello, Roger.
Yes, thank you, gentlemen. And I'd like to ask a very quick aside with you first, Stadmiller, before I come back to your two guests. And that is, did I hear you to say that you were going to hang here or that you, too, were going to be moving down to 11.920?
Yes.
That's affirmative.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm guessing that means you're losing at least the whole of the Northeast.
No. That doesn't mean that at all.
Oh,
we haven't fired up the frequency yet, so how can you say that?
Okay. Well, I've been trying a few test drives. I assume they were carrying content. Okay, great.
No, there's not going to be anything on there until Monday.
Great. Would have been a big vacuum, personally. Okay, now you get two guests, and I forget which of you two was on about 4 weeks ago, but since I got the bases covered here, I'll ask either or both to respond. Do I take it your position is or isn't that for the individual that, say, manages to sever all the contractual relationships and with the legal jurisdictions that going in front of those local judges, that they may still be disposed to reject your claims for no jurisdiction, and that you may still not have any redress in any subsequent appeals courts, so that you can just be shut down? Or is there a silver bullet after all?
I think you're probably addressing me, since I've been in the one on that issue the longest. Then this is Ed Waller. We're going to find that out. I've got some driving without a license, driving with expired plates, all those kind of things in front of me right now. And I have been trying to run into the DA to see if he wants to bury these or whether he wants my crowd to come into his court to watch my performance. And if I don't get a hold of him in the next couple of days, I'll just go into court. Two things that are real interesting about this. One is I'm actually going to be in court in Florida in October as counsel. My contention is only U.S. citizens need licenses to practice law. Citizens of the U.S. of A., of the de jure republic, don't. All my rights are intact. I can make a living in any manner I want, but they can't prove I'm not of immoral character. So far, of just our little research group, we've had four cases go into court after someone has properly and diligently, according to Title VIII, severed all legal relations with the U.S., and in all four cases, the case was thrown so far out of court you couldn't see it bounce. They would have nothing to do with it. And that makes sense, because if they do try to proceed with it and claim jurisdiction where they don't have it, we think we can make the argument that it is a you're taking someone's rights, which is punishable under 18 U.S.C. 241 or 242, depending on if it's one or more people involved. And it's also a you're taking one's right to citizenship, because if you've made an open declaration and they're trying to controvert it, they don't have the authority to do it. So far we have seen in these couple cases, which we would call test cases, the cases are dismissed. They will have nothing to do with them. We haven't had any need of other redress or anything like that.
Well, certainly an open question is better than a closed negative one. And then even if, say, they did that, do you see any possible avenues for, say, personal suits against the judges for deprivation of rights or due process, et cetera, and God bless you all?
Well, I guess you want me to answer that question. We absolutely see that, because it's provided for. There is, under Title 28, a cause of action specified by Congress for deprivation of rights or deprivation of citizenship. We're going to take a few of these into court as test cases. I've got a buddy out in Washington who was wiring up some computer cables in a building, and the contractor who didn't get the job filed a complaint, and they've come out and red-tagged the job. He's going to go into state court under rules of special proceedings and say, okay, show me your authority to deprive me of my right to make a living. And if you can't, of course, then you're going to have to pay me for my losses. So I think once we hit him with a few of these, once people are properly statused, if you will, they'll figure out it's just not worth it because they've got no place to go. They've got no legal jurisdiction to hang out there once you're not a U.S. citizen.
Right. And this is John. Ed and I have been talking about this, for several months now. And we're not, and even Ed and I are not on the same page with this. And that's good. We are not clones of each other. We disagree on some issues. And this issue that we're talking about, I'm not fully informed on. Of what exactly, all the research Ed's done. He's shared with me over the phone and some stuff like that. So with that said, the issue is if you change your status and get out from their system and you become this entity without a political body, and Ed and I have talked about this, and I think he tends to agree with it, that once you step out, the next step to have longevity, to have safety, is to go ahead and reestablish, the government that you have a right to reestablish or to establish, depending on when your state entered the American Union. And then you can have courts, and then you can start participating in a government and have your body of laws and have remedy. Because for the most part, it's difficult to get remedy so far. And I'm saying that, knowing that Ed is in the middle of practicing this issue to see whether the remedy is readily available, whether it's easy to get, and what will be their response to this. This is all fairly experimental of how do you reestablish rights from a government that steals them from you without authority, and that's what we're all talking about. How do we do that? And the number one issue is just like what we're saying is we've got to start by doing it. And see where it leads us.
All right. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it, Roger. Sheldon in Tucson. Hello, Sheldon.
Hi. I was wondering, is there anyone out there in the listening audience, or you or your guest, which knows anything about Rule 46?
What's the title of that one?
I'm not sure. It has to do. This is on a state level. And it ties the hands of the state legislative body, which rules in behalf of the federal agencies like that operates within the states, like the DNR, the EPA, the DOT, and the state Supreme Court. So always rule in behalf of the federal agencies no matter what.
Okay, I'm looking at Federal Rule 46.
So it's on a state level, this rule.
But it sounds to me like out in Arizona, your Rule 46 here is just the open gate for the Fed. That's what
I don't even know what state this is out of. I'm doing this for my friend up in Wisconsin.
Oh,
she just wants me to get on a radio show and ask the audience about it because she had seen it one time in a publication called America's Bulletin. You ever hear of that?
I stay far away from it is all I can tell you. And they don't advertise here, right, John?
No.
Okay. Be careful of America's Bulletin is all I'll tell you.
What's that?
Be very careful of America's Bulletin. They go down a lot of roads that are going to get people in trouble. So
Okay. That's
just my opinion, for what it's worth, do what you want with it.
Okay, and the other thing I wanted to mention, John, it's really been bothering me that you're the manager of a network which speaks the truth, and this is quite evident with the lineup of high-quality hosts on the Republic Network, but you yourself will not expose weather modification because of a lack of documentation, and this issue is well documented. Now, this needs to be exposed, John, as much as possible before the ADL's Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act shuts down the networks.
Well, when that happens, who gives a hoot whether they've got weather modification or they don't? Let me tell you something, caller Sheldon, listen to me. I have to prioritize. Okay, I just got an email here from a friend of mine to actually send it over to Derry Brownfield. Said, Jeff, would you please send me the article about the created cyclones Derry read on the air this morning? John Stattmiller got on his show after Chris Gerner the other day and basically called him and his weather modification nuts.
But it's documented, John. You got a UN treaty on it.
Hold on. Hey, hold on a second. I'm saying if we can prove that they used it, this is what I said. You know, don't put words in my mouth. I said if we can prove that they used that weather modification technology for Katrina or any other hurricane that we've seen guided into the United States, if I can prove it, I'll talk my full head off about it. But we're into the area that people would look at this as little green men from planet Xanadu. Do you understand what I'm saying? And
yes,
we,
I understand, but it's in the United States code.
Okay. All right. Sheldon, anything else?
That'll be it. Thanks, John.
Yeah. Thank you. I think. You know, folks, you know, whether I agree with my talk show host or not, I set my priorities. Okay? If we've got talk show hosts on this network talking about weather modification and they can prove it, fine. That's their program. That's their bailiwick. That's what they want to do. Some people on this network talk to almost the exclusion of anything else except Agenda 21. And then the problem with that is that when you have a particular talk show host talking about a particular subject and they won't get off of it, the listening audience, once they've heard or thought they've heard everything on the subject, will tune in someplace else. So basically what has happened is that talk show host has eroded their listening audience. But, Sheldon, I thank you for your kind words and your criticism. Richard in Alabama. Hello, Richard.
Hi. I called about an hour ago when I heard you say jury trial and constitution.
Mm.
You were talking to a judge, I guess.
Yeah, a justice of the peace, actually.
Yeah, well, a jury trial is not a trial by jury. It's a... It means whatever the case law thinks it means, and the judge can... It's kind of soft and mushy, and it has no real meaning.
Yeah,
so
there's,
if he says he'll give you a jury trial, he's saying nothing.
Yeah. There is a difference between trial by jury and jury trial. You're right.
Yes, but the judge was just saying nothing, essentially.
Mm.
And when you said Constitution, into his mind pops 50 years of case law. That's all it means in a judge's mind, the last 50 years of case law. That's the Constitution in his mind.
Right. It's what he has learned, what he has been exposed to, or what he cares to expose himself to and understand. No, I get your point, yeah.
So you ask him the question, and he says, yes, we're going to protect your constitutional rights. He's saying nothing.
Well, he didn't even say that. What he was basically doing from the bench, he was laying out the ground rules. He was putting out the foul lines on his baseball diamond, basically, is what he was doing.
Well, yeah, he's saying nothing to you.
Yeah.
You think he answered your question, but he said nothing.
Well, and
that's the way they are.
Yeah.
So, you know, I found four titles of the Alabama Traffic Code, Motor Vehicle Code, that forbid me from producing my driver's license. Forbid me from producing my driver's license to an officer when requested. Now, those are that of course, saying that to any officer is ridiculous, and saying it to a traffic judge is ridiculous. They put the law in there that forbids me to produce it so as to put the onus on me for every bit of false information in my driver's license file.
But you realize that those laws only apply to U.S. citizens.
So those are codes.
Well, codes and statutes only apply to U.S. citizens.
And anybody who accepts the jurisdiction of the court.
Those are U.S. citizens.
And yep. And even, I mean, it's been argued, and essentially the argument is correct, that, you know, when you walk into their venue, there you are. You just delivered yourself to them.
That's right. Exactly.
That's why Rule 9 exists, to bring special matters to the attention of the court without giving them general jurisdiction.
Rule 9 in Alabama is on a different subject. It's about the misnomer.
It's about capacity.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the right rule. You have to really look at the footnotes on that rule to see what it's really about. It's not what you think it's about?
Well, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to beat them. That's all I know for sure.
Well, that's the wrong attitude to go in there with.
You're not going to beat them in the current status. You have to get educated and come at them under a different set of laws.
Yep.
And they don't have jurisdiction over.
And Richard, I'll go back to what I said initially. There's going to be a lot of problems that disappear once we get an admission here of what kind of government we're under, and we go back to the Constitution. Don't you think a lot of these codified laws, these statutes, these public laws that they come up with, don't you think that these are going to lose their effect in force? Don't you think that they're going to go by the wayside?
Well,
I think that they will.
Only national bankruptcy will reform the system.
Well, we've already had a national bankruptcy back in 1933.
That didn't work out so well.
No, it didn't.
No, I mean for real.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, it was for real, and basically what they allowed, they confiscated people's real wealth and confiscated the gold and everything else. Franklin Delano Roosevelt knew exactly what he was doing under that, knew exactly what he was doing. He was setting precedent, if you will, for further actions. Now, I would like a case here, gentlemen. You know, did anybody go in front of the United States Supreme Court on the issue of private banking in this country? You know, here's a big whammy. And we've seen the result of that. We've lost 96% of the dollar. It's only worth 4% of what it originally was. But that doesn't seem to be a great concern to anybody. But again, if we've got a Supreme Court of the United States of America, and we have judges and politicians that, oh, I'm sorry, I won't insult them. I would call them statesmen at that point, that understood the Constitution, wouldn't craft laws to try to get around the Constitution, try to duck under it, or whatever the case may be, we would have a manageable system of law in this country. Manageable. Right now, it's out of control.
Well, you can't say united in court without the judge presuming that it was all in all capital letters.
Well, and until you make this, but yeah, but see, but we're going to be going into court. Individuals are going to be chewed up in this meat grinder. You know, going in with specific things, the end result of certain actions, and we're at the tail end of the ad here. And walking in and trying to push this boulder up the hill is nigh impossible. We have got to get the system of law back on track in this country. And I'll say this again. A lot of the problems we're looking at right now are going to vaporize. They're going to disappear. Because once again, we'll have lawful, provable government in America.
Well, John, just to answer your question about did anybody go in on the private banking, there were the legal tender cases, which is as close as anything got to that. But, you know, here again, after the Civil War, we went from Supreme Court of the United States to United States Supreme Court. Now, who is that court deciding law for? Well, it turns out it's not for du jour republic citizens.
So are you saying here, don't burst my bubble, you mean John G. Roberts, the youngest Supreme Court justice in over 200 years, is not going to be a good guy? Oh, you just ruined my day.
He's not going to be a justice for you, no, not if you want to join our team.
Well, I want to be on the winning side, okay?
How about on the legal side?
You know, because we see what side is winning right now, that's right.
That's right.
Dan in Texas, hello, Dan. Hi, Dan.
Like Clay, I'm an attorney here in Texas, and I can relate to much of what he had to say.
Mm-hmm.
John, I've been listening to your show since its inception, and I don't know if you've discussed this with your guests, but I have been incredibly fascinated with their appearances on your show in the last couple of months. And spend time looking at their website.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'd be just a dandy thing if maybe on Saturday or Sunday if these two gentlemen had their own two-hour show.
You know, I'm getting a strange echo here. That is a distinct possibility because we are expanding the coverage on shortwave on the network, and we'll have time on the weekends. Gentlemen, is that something that you two may consider doing?
Sure.
It's something, yeah, I mean, just to throw it out for now, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a commitment. It takes a commitment to be there every Saturday or Sunday, you know, for that 2 hours to prepare for the show or whatever. But I think I've set aside this Thursday because, and again, this goes back to my feeling here that I am tired of just demonstrating the problems over and over again, you know, and talking about different stories emanating from the same problem children here. And it has been a wonderful thing to do, and I enjoy doing it very much. But I need other people to step up. And you gentlemen, I don't think, Dan, I think you got a heck of an idea there. I think that if these fine folks here had their own program on this, their own network, then they could start to do much more things. They could take their show in the directions they wanted to. I mean, they could start whatever they wanted to, bring people on board, start organizations. They could do whatever they wanted to do. These are two thinking individuals that I have on this program today. And, Dan, that's a good idea.
Their thoughts are fascinating, John, and I just it would just be so nice if they could do a show and, like, for example, explain in one show how we became de facto citizens and were displaced from being de jure citizens, and just spend a whole show on that and really get into it.
Right.
Because I have to tell you, you know how if you're going to teach a dog to do tricks, if they have bad habits, you've got to teach them to undo their bad habits before you can teach that dog to do good habits.
You, Dan, it's funny you should say that because I was just thinking about that today along those very same lines, that you know, that we do things on a repetitious basis. We react to things similarly. This is our own Pavlov's dog response here, I guess you could say. And I think you're right. I've been thinking about that a lot, Dan. Funny you should say that. You must have been listening to me for too long because you're starting to read my mind.
If the dog is too vicious, don't you shoot him, just get a new dog.
What's that, Dan?
I embrace these concepts with delight, but I have to tell you, at times I actually get physically painful headaches because of the disconnect and the cognitive dissonance that I suffer from having to tell myself, no, those are de facto attorney thoughts.
Yeah.
You need to do away with those, and then perhaps you can more easily absorb the de jure attorney thoughts.
Well, and you know what I'd like to see is these two fine gentlemen, Ed Waller and John Ainsworth, maybe start up their own lawyers' guild that they can bring attorneys in and they can listen to their show or read their information, and we can bring these people in because, again, you know, I'll say this, and this has happened to many people in public service, let's just call it, that they go in with one thought in their head. You know, they're picking a career, and they have this vision of what they're going to be doing, and there's all this good that they can be doing, and they can be part of it, and this, that, and the other. But all they're basically doing, they didn't create that system. They're plugging themselves into their matrix. They become what they are. And you're correct, Dan. This is not the first time I've heard this, that it causes people, sometimes people get physically ill because they know the difference between the truth and then what they're dealing with, and it's hard for them to deal with that and then unplug themselves from it. Dan, I appreciate
John,
your call.
Take your time.
All right. Well, I appreciate you. By the way, have I gotten any better over the years? You've been listening to me since I've been on the air.
Well, I mean, since you started up Republic Broadcast.
Oh, okay. Okay, we'll go from that point. All right, Dan, thank you so much. Appreciate it very much. Two lawyers today. You know, we got a lot.
See, there are some good lawyers out there.
There are. Look, I got to tell you something. I've got judges that listen to the show. I've got police officers, lawyers, which you heard from some today. I've got a cross section of America that listens to this program. And you know, this is some of the reason why I don't spend a whole lot of time on issues such as weather modification or whatever else, because I'm trying to boil this down. You know, I'm the head of this network, this little bailiwick here, and I try to keep this stuff centered down to what I think is important. And to some people, yeah, weather modification and millions of dollars worth of damage and loss of life, yeah, that is important. But let me go back to my central point again. If we can do away with the corrupt individuals who are allowing stuff like this to happen, then we are well on our way of eliminating the problem.
Well, John, if we took a $2.4 trillion $1 trillion federal budget and reduced it down to about $300 billion, which is, I look at the CBO numbers every year when they come out. And if you just take in courts, military, things that are actually in the Constitution, we can run this country on about $300 to $400 billion a year. Now, it's a whole lot harder to do all these black projects and black ops and all the things they're doing on only $300 to $400 billion a year. So the problem would solve itself simply by going back to a de jure lawful government.
Yeah, I mean, what's our budget? What's the government set the budget at every year? $1.2 trillion?
No, it's 2.4 now.
Is it 2.4 trillion?
Here's a good rule of thumb, and numbers are hard to deal with on the radio, but it took us from 1789 to 1980, right? 200 years to get to $1 trillion. It was during Reagan's first term. It took us only to 2001, or 21 years, to get to the second trillion that King George 43 went past. And it's estimated we'll cross $3 trillion 5 years later. So 200 to 20 to 5. Now, that's called an asymptotic curve in math. We can't sustain it.
I just got dizzy trying to...
I know. It's hard to do on the radio.
Just trying to put all the zeros into place. Annetta in West Virginia. Let's go to Annetta. Hello, Annetta.
Good afternoon, John.
Hi.
I just tuned into your program when you were talking about the end discussion on the weather modification. I thought you might want to know that having listened to James McCanney last night on shortwave, I believe he can answer your question. He was talking about proof. I've got a website for him, and if it's taken down correctly, you'll get through to him. But if any part of it is missing, there have been other websites set up to take people away from his work.
Okay, Annetta, do me a favor. I'll let my producer take your information. We're talking about Constitution today, not weather modification, but I appreciate that input. And I will look up the information. Let's go to John in Louisiana. Hello, John. John, are you there?
Hello, John.
Hi.
Yes, good evening to you and your guests. Now, I have in my hands a fine book. It's called The First Amendment. It's a cases, comments, questions textbook for lawyers, written by Stephen Shiflin and Jesse H. Chopa. It's published by the Great West organization, West Publishing Company, in 1991. And it's about the First Amendment. And it's 756 pages, I believe it is. 756 pages. And nowhere does it quote verbatim the First Amendment of 45 words. In its entirety.
Really?
And so that's the education people get, you see. This book was actually used to teach lawyers in this here vicinity, this here. You know, I think in this state we got 5 institutions to teach people to be lawyers, including Johnny Cochran and that type of person. And in New Lagos, New Orleans over there.
Right.
There is an institution of takers to the underclass where they graduate. For every five graduates in law, only one of them can pass the bar exam.
I'm out of time, John. Thanks for your call. John Ainsworth, Ed Waller, thank you guys so much. And let's talk. We're going to open up the evening hours on shortwave here very quickly. Let's talk about your own show on this network. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Goodbye, John.
Talk to you soon.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals?
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.